Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Welcome again. Welcome again. It's on a Sunday, and it's the Master Show, Master Plan. I am JT, and wait a minute. Stop the music. Yes, this is JT, and this is the Master Plan. But this is Easter Sunday. You don't start off like you're starting to try to a football game or trying to pump up a team. This is a nice spring-like day, Easter Sunday. I want to wish everyone a happy Easter Sunday with your loved ones, regardless of who they may be. And let's start this off as a Easter Sunday should be, with some love. So we'll start with some D'Angelo, and I'll be back in a short minute to start the show off. Much to that love. This is the middle of the day. I mean, you can have some, afternoon delight. I'm talking on Easter like that, but let's get into the show, okay? Like I said, I am JT. This is the Master Plan on a beautiful Easter Sunday, and I'll say it again, like I said in the beginning, happy Easter to all you. I'm hoping you are going to have an enjoyable Easter, getting on your swag on, putting on your nice clothes, walking down the boardwalk if you happen to be near the seashore somewhere, in an Easter parade, have an Easter dinner with your family or spending it with a loved one or whatever. I'm just wishing everyone a happy, happy, and healthy Easter Sunday. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'm going to run that back to you again along with the chat room. 347-637-3220. Chat room's open. It's always open season when I have a chat room open. You can say and do anything you want in the chat room. I've heard it all. I can't say I've done it all. I've done a lot, but I've heard it all. And you, there's nothing that you can possibly say, and not that I'm daring you to do it, but there's nothing that you can possibly say in the chat room that would surprise me It may offend me, but it won't, wouldn't surprise me. Human beings are unique species, and can be cruel to each other. I'm just saying, respect respect me, or respect the chat room. But it's open season, so you can do whatever and say whatever you basically want, if you like. We're going to be talking about, you know, one of my favorite subjects is always talking about the NFL. So we're going to be talking about the NFL. We're also going to be talking about some crazy things. So crazy things that are going on in the NBA, which is nothing new. In this day and age of sports, and it's regardless of whatever sport it is, it could be ping pong. There's always something going crazy on in, especially in professional sports. It doesn't have to necessarily be professional sports, but it could always something crazy going on. There's always, because there's so much media out there, things that were not made aware of in years past are headline news now. I mean, you got the social media blowing things up, Twitter and Facebook and that like. Smartphones capturing pictures on the spot and sending them to whatever websites, and they become viral. So if you're in professional sport, if you're doing anything crazy, just be aware that you may be the next sensation on a web. Just be aware of that, because there's so many avenues of people and so many ways people want to make themselves known, make themselves famous, make themselves a name for themselves, get those people their 15 minutes of fame. They are out there, and just be aware of that. And I see we have Mr. Sports Bracketology in the chat room. Welcome to be in the chat room. He has a show which airs on 11 o'clock on Monday night. I don't have the website. If he is listening, if you can give me the link in the chat room, I can relay it to my listeners, and maybe they'll be tuning in on Monday night when you come up on the airways. Anyway, like I said, we're going to be talking about the NFL. We're going to be talking about a well-known NFL broadcaster that I wouldn't say he's in the down and outs, but he's adding to a long list of pro ball players, or ex-pro ball players that are in the financial problems. That's one of the things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a little fantasy baseball, because I happen to be in the fantasy baseball league. This is my first year. I'm breaking my cherry. I'm a rookie in a fantasy baseball league for the very first time, I think I'm going to do pretty well. I think I have a pretty good lineup. My pitchers are pretty good. I'm trying to make some moves to improve, but my pitchers are pretty good, and I think there may be a chance that another championship in baseball this time is on the horizon. Now I've won two championships this past year in fantasy football, so during the year, the whole year, including the football season, tune in. Because I'm going to be giving you guys either tips, not either tips. I'm going to be giving you guys tips on fantasy football. I'm going to be giving you guys players to look for in fantasy football. I know it's early, but if you like fantasy football, you have to stay on top of it 365 days a year, because there's always breaking news. There's always things happening. Just like you work at your job, just like a pro professional player, of any kind, football, basketball, hockey, whatever your profession is, you have to work at it to perfect it, to get it to where, to try to get as close to perfection as you possibly can. So what I'm saying is this. I'm going to be giving you information throughout the off season, into the preseason, and into the NFL season that can help you win your fantasy football leagues. I am very confident in that. I've been playing fantasy football for a number of years now. I have won championships in free leagues and in money leagues. So trust me when I say this. My forte is running backs. I can pick running backs and give you sleeper running backs before the season, into the season. It's up to you to listen and pay attention and take notes, because it will help you. Let me just go past that. Like I said, we'll be getting into the NFL. We'll be getting into fantasy baseball, like I said. We'll also be getting to a little bit of craziness, and I've said this before, craziness that's going on in professional basketball, and whatever else that may come up. All right? So first of all, let's delve into the crazy world of the Orlando Magic. Now, for those who don't know, you know who Dwight Howard is. He happens to be the superstar of the Orlando Magic. Well, he's been hemming and hawing for over the last season whether he wants to stay, whether he wants to go, whether he wants to stay, whether he wants to go. He's been, when I'm saying this, when I'm going back and forth, that's exactly what he's been doing. Should I stay? Should I go? Should I stay? Should I go? Should I stay? Should I go? Well, the trade deadline came up, and he's still with the team, quite naturally. Well, after the trade deadline, his play, for the most part, wasn't a Dwight Howard type of play. He kind of dropped off. I don't know if he was pouting. I don't know if he was trying to make a point. Who the heck knows? All I know is that Dwight Howard wouldn't show up every night when the game was on. Then a report comes out that Dwight Howard, it came out from Stan Gundy, that Dwight Howard tried to get Stan Van Gundy, the head coach of the Orlando Magic, fired. Now, from what I understand, or from what's been told, that I guess there's been a running feud, but a disagreement with Stan Van Gundy and the way he runs his team, and Dwight Howard and Shaq jumped in this past week. I think he jumped in this past week and said that you can't win a championship, and I'm not I'm paraphrasing this. This is not word for word. Can't win a championship with Stan Van Gundy. Anyway. There's a report now, it came out this morning, that the GM, Otis Smith, spoke out on this feud, between Stan Van Gundy and Dwight Howard. Otis Smith says that Dwight Howard did not ask to fire Coach Stan Van Gundy. His quote is this: he never asked me. I didn't have that knowledge. So when Stan Van Gundy stood up in a press conference Thursday and said he knew that the Magic franchise player, had asked that he be fired, Smith said both parties were to blame for the public dispute. This is another quote from Smith. If he did ask, he's wrong. And for Stan to address it in public, that is wrong. Now, this is the first time. Now, there's been alleged players that have been said that, this player got this coach fired. We're talking about, I'm going back to quite a few years ago, supposedly that Magic got Paul Westphal. I don't know, for those of you who know the Lakers history, Paul Westphal used to coach Magic Johnson and for the Lakers, and supposedly Magic Johnson got Paul Westphal fired. Now, and supposedly Michael Jordan got, and I can't recall the coach at the time, got the I don't think it was Doug Collins, got the coach fired in Chicago. So there's been a history, supposed history of superstar players either requesting or going to the GM or the owner or whatever and saying, this guy has to go. But it's never, that I have never seen where a coach physically comes out and says that the player tried to get me fired. And, you know, in this day and age, and I've been saying this for a while, in this day and age, players have become more vocal and express their dirty laundry, per se, in the public versus in keeping it in the locker room. And the outspoken Stan Van Gundy, I would probably say that he did one of these.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now, what I'm saying is this. Stan Van Gundy and also his brother, who happens to be a commentator for the ESPN, if I'm not mistaken, is a very outspoken. Both of them are very outspoken, not afraid to speak up. I would say that Jeff Van Gundy is a little bit more diplomatic and a little more refined than Stan Van Gundy. Stan Van Gundy, in my opinion, is a little bit more rough around the edges. Speaks his mind. He's a very good basketball coach. But Otis Smith also confirmed Saturday that Stan Van Gundy will coach the Magic through the rest of the season. And when asked if Van Gundy will return next year, quite naturally, you know, when a coach probably is not going to come back, he's not going to the general manager I'm talking about is not going to be as self-confident and reassured, self-assured, and say, yeah, he's coming back. He didn't give a resounding vote of confidence of him being back. What he said was, I quote, don't have an answer for that. I don't have the answer to who's going to be on our roster either. So, you know, Howard's contract is up this year. Howard made a case for return next season on Saturday. Quite naturally, like I said, I didn't say this, but Charles Barkley accused Dwight Howard of quitting on Thursday night when they played the Knicks. He had 6 points, 8 points with 8 rebounds, and he didn't play well at all. Like, he wasn't really interested. So. He did say, I want everyone to know I never quit on my team. I know I had some bad games. I'll never quit on my team. Everybody needs to know that. Excuse me there for a minute. Van Gundy, I'm reading from an article on ESPN. So Van Gundy, on his part, wants to return in Orlando next season. He told the Orlando Sentinel on Saturday. He said, I don't have a scenario in my head where I wouldn't. They're going to have to make decisions, but I'm a basketball coach and I know this. I don't want to go anywhere else. I mean, I love Orlando and this is where I want to be and I want to coach. Now, you got a player that supposedly is very wishy-washy. I mean, I'm surprised he's playing in the NBA and not the WNBA because he seems like he can't make a decision. And I'm not saying anything disparaging, but I'm saying the old adage or whatever of not being able to make a decision has been equated to a woman. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not disparaging. I'm just saying that that's the old saying or whatever. Dwight Howard seems to have those tendencies. Dwight, you got to make a decision whether you want to be here or not. You, all year you're saying, yeah, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And now he says he you never know what he's going to say during the summer. He's going to be a free agent. They're going to try to sign him. I kind of doubt they're going to try to sign him. He's going to go to the highest bidder. You know that. New Jersey's going to be in play. There's going to be a lot of teams in play that have cap room. And he's probably going to go to the highest bidder. I think it was a big mistake for Orlando not to really trade him to get some value. I think he's going to go wherever. Who the heck knows what he's going to do? Dwight Howard is I'm typing here. Anyway, Dwight Howard is not one of my favorite players, and unless he goes to a team that's got some good, a good point guard and a good three player, Dwight Howard's going to have problems in the town he goes to. And hopefully he comes up with a good coach. Anyway, let's move on. And I'm going to call in. It's 347-637-3220. I went on for about 22 minutes. 20 minutes or whatever it was, didn't want to spend that much time on this, but on an NBA. Anyway, I was talking about the NFL. Let's talk about the NFL. And I told you this one NFL or ex-NFL pro. Well, let me back up and slow down here a little bit. There's an ex-pro football player who's in financial distress right now. He's got some problems. He worked on the NFL Network. If those who don't know, it came out yesterday afternoon on various news sources. I'm going to read this article to you. It's coming from ProFootballTalk.com. And we're talking about the none other, the very outspoken, and not wouldn't say loud, but very down to earth, and supposedly from good sources, good people, Warren Sapp. Unfortunately, Warren Sapp filed for bankruptcy yesterday. Well, not yesterday, but recently declared bankruptcy. He listed his income at $45,000 per month from NFL Network on a contract that expires in August of 2012. And Sapp said in his paperwork he's not sure if the contract will be extended. And according to Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe, it probably won't be. And I'm gonna read this whole article. It's not that long. It's long enough, but it's not that long. We'll talk about it. Bedard reports, citing two league sources, that Sapp's employment, in, I quote, likely over, and that Sapp has not been on NFL Network in the two-plus weeks since he went on the air and outed former Saints tight end Jeremy Shockey as a player who blew the whistle on the Saints bounty system in 2011. Wow. See, I didn't realize. I knew he outed him, but I didn't realize. But come to think of it, he hasn't been on it for the two-plus weeks. Anyway, Senior Vice President of Programming and Production Mark Quinzel previously said Sapp wouldn't be fired, but if Bedard's report is accurate, that was just a matter of semantics. Like when the Steelers didn't, quote, fire offensive coordinator Bruce Arians, and all we know, after his contract expired, even though they didn't offer him an ongoing employment, maybe NFL Network will claim Sapp retired too. That's a LOL, laugh all out. Okay. We separately heard, though hadn't confirmed to the point that we felt comfortable reporting it, that SAP is indeed done at NFL Network. Now, I'm going to finish reading the article, but I want to comment on this. Now, I enjoyed watching Warren Sapp because he was a change of pace from a normal stuffy shirt commentator that always says something politically correct, always has the proper grammar. Warren Sapp gave you a black side and speech and mannerisms and talk on the NFL Network. He gave you a lot of quotes that were street type of quotes, things that you would hear from your homeboys about a certain player or something like that. And I enjoy Warren Sapp because he was a breath of fresh air on these networks that all these guys have pretty much cookie cutter type attitudes, speech, cookie cutter type thing saying on the air. I enjoyed Warren Sapp and the way he presented himself on TV. A lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people of a different color didn't like that because Warren Sapp is down to earth and to me tells it like it is. Anyway, let me finish reading this and then I'll go on from there. Where am I? Where did I stop at? As one industry source explained, opinions within the building were split on what to do with Sapp. An NFL Network chief, Steve Borenstein, made the decision to bench Sapp until his contract expires and then simply move on. Though it was wrong for Sapp to out Shockey and label him a snitch. But that's Warren Sapp. That, I mean, you that's part of the package you get with Warren Sapp. Sapp initially did so on his Twitter page, as we understand it. He was then invited by the NFL Network to come on the air and talk about what he had tweeted. What did they expect him to say at that point? Now, that's what I'm talking about. What they expected him to say. Warren Sapp is like I said, you hire Warren Sapp, you know what you get. No way. It's a trap. Moreover, the fact that the NFL Network said in the wake of the fiasco that Sapp has been told he's not a reporter but an analyst implied strongly that he hadn't previously been told not to report things he has heard. Indeed, the network happily embraced the fact that Sapp received a text message from former University of Miami teammate Ray Lewis during the season, indicating that Lewis would miss the first four games with a foot injury. But that's the way the league usually operates. No one is fired with fanfare, and the official separation comes after the dust settles. If that's what the league-owned network chooses to do with Sapp, that's fine. But the league-owned network shouldn't have played word games with the public about it. And the league-owned network shouldn't single out Sapp for something that arose from a much broader failure in TV production and sensitivity to potential legal problems. Well, like I said before, you listen to Warren Sapp, You know what you're going to get. And I had talked about this yesterday, and I'm torn about this. Not torn, but I'm going back and forth on this. Now, I don't believe in being a snitch, okay? I don't believe in snitching somebody out. But did Jeremy Shockey have a... If it was Jeremy Shockey, did he have an agenda? Was he bitter about getting pretty much tossed by the New Orleans Saints, and this is a way to get him back? Or was he trying to right a wrong, seeing what's going on and knowing what's going on, and then said, "Well, you know what? I know what's been happening, and this is what's been happening, and." This is the prime culprit, who happened to be Gray Williams. For those who didn't listen to my Thursday show or the FSP crew show, it's not my show. I host it along with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. I played that clip of Gray Williams in the locker room on Thursday, courtesy of Black clued me in on it, and I got it up so you, the people, could hear it. And then Victor Gardner, played it yesterday on his show. Now, it's graphic. I don't know if I should play it or not. If you listen to the first two shows, or if you haven't listened to the first two shows, let me put it this way. If you haven't listened to the first two shows and you're just hearing about it, or if you haven't listened to the clip and gone online and listened to the clip, I'm going to do this. Now, I know it's Easter Sunday. I know this. But to be fair about this, I think I should play this this clip on Greg Williams. And okay, the Crow and Moore show in the chat room wants me to play it. Understand this, it's pretty graphic in what it says. I just want you to premise that by saying that it is pretty graphic. There are some things on there that some people more than likely won't like, but I'm gonna play it anyway. It's been played on the last two shows. I brought it on the last two shows, and we're going to play it here. This is Greg Williams. This happened on this is a short clip. It's about 3.5-minute clip. Greg Williams is talking to his team in a defensive meeting on January 13th, the day before they're supposed to play the 49ers. And it speaks for itself. Listen in.
We don't fucking apologize for how we're going to play. You're here for a reason. You're here because we saw in you, and we hope we pick the right person that won't apologize for competing the way we have to compete. There may be better athletes, but not defensive football players that have to go into war tomorrow and play the way we fucking play. Am I in trouble by doubt? Cannot focus on victory. NFL's a production business, we'll never forget about it. Where are we at right now? Got a tie at the top. Got a lot of guys up at the top. Kill the head, the body will die. Kill the head, the body will die. We've got everything in the world to make sure we kill Frank Gore's head. We want him running sideways. We want his head sideways. Little 32, the one knocked the fuck out of him. He has no idea what he's in for. When he's on the sideline, we got to turn that motherfucker over, turn the coaches over, turn the spectators over, go get that motherfucker on the sideline. It's a great game. It's a production business. We hit fucking Smith right there. Remember me. I got the first one. So lay that motherfucker out. We're going to dominate the line of scrimmage, and we're going to kill the fucking head. Every single one of you, before you get off the pile, affect the head. Early, affect the head. Continue, touch and hit the head. They're going to come in. They're going to be shocked with our contact. They're going to be shocked with our speed. They're going to be shocked with our strip. If you kick field goals, be the best defense in that stadium. Remember the walkaways. And remember, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we'll get on that bus, right back to that airport, and get ready for the next one. Respect comes from fear. This is how you get respect in this league. We need to find out in the first two series of the game, the little wide receiver, number 10, about his concussion. We need to fucking put a lick on him right now. He needs to decide. We need to fucking decide. We need to decide whether Crabtree wants to be a fake-ass prima donna or he wants to be a tough guy. We need to find that out. When he becomes human, we need to fucking take out that outside ACL. We need to decide on how many times we can beat Frank Gore's head. We need to decide how many times we can bull rush and we can fucking put Vernon Davis's ankles over the pile. We need to decide. And when they are fearing us, they give us the ball. Alex Smith in the preseason game, when you guys fucking avalanche that motherfucker, had eyes that big. You all saw him. Another thing we always say in this room is never apologize for the way that you speak. If you're in this room, you understand that we don't apologize.
Okay, people. You've heard it for the third time. Thursday, Saturday, and today. What are your opinions? What are your opinions? Okay, I got something from the Crow and Moore show. He's wishing everyone a happy Easter. His show is live tonight at 8 p.m. on Block Talk Radio, the Crow and Moore show. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tune in and listen to the Crow and Moore show to see what they have to say. Now, like I said, that's Greg Williams. Now, you know, it sounds like a normal coach, except for the few things that he's saying that about the concussion and about taking somebody's ACL out. Now, that's crossing the line. You know, I can understand trying to pump your guys up. But talking about taking somebody's ACL out, that's you don't do that. That's not, for lack of a better term, good sportsmanship. But this is football. I understand it's a contact sport. But there are rules that you play with, and unwritten rules that you play with, because everybody is trying to make a living playing this game, and if your ability is better than the other guys, you'll sustain for that much longer. But if you're trying to take another guy's livelihood away by trying taking his ACL out or something like that, that's crossing the line. And supposedly Jeremy Shockey, and I'm saying supposedly, I'm not accusing him, helped bring that to light, and Warren Sapp, as Warren Sapp always does, he keeps it real, and said Jeremy Sapp, Warren Sapp is street. He said Jeremy Shockey is a snitch, and that's street talking there, but that's what you get. But on that light, Kurt Warner tweeted yesterday, all this talk about Gray Williams receiving a lifetime ban from the NFL. Now, this is from Kurt Warner, who was one of the guys targeted by the Saints. I disagree. We all deserve a second chance. And then he comes out and says, what are your thoughts? And Warner was a... Warner absorbed a splintering hit from defensive end Bobby McCray in that NFC divisional playoff game between Arizona and New Orleans in 2010. Warner said last month he felt the aftershocks for weeks, but added, I cannot go back and look at that and say by any means that was an illegal hit. Now, if you looked at it, it was not an illegal hit, but that you know they were targeting Kurt Warner just like they targeted Aaron Rodgers and any other prime time quarterbacks, because take the head and the rest of the body will fall. So that's what Greg Williams was saying. One of Warner's tweeted followers argued that Williams already received a second chance after being warned by the league while still with the Saints. Okay, and then Kurt Warner comes back at that tweeter and says, and I quote, a continuation of mistake, Warner tweeted. Guys that have gone to prison, failed multiple drug tests, tape practices, meaning New England Patriots and Bill Belichick, all got second chance. And the last part of this article says Warner's prerogative to forgive the man who targeted him. Warner faced the Saints head on at the height of Williams' antics. He's choosing to forgive. Now, understand Kurt Warner is a Christian, but I don't think that is playing into the fact that what Kurt Warner is saying. Greg Williams made a mistake. It was a huge mistake for a period of years, but just like Michael Vick made a mistake for a huge mistake for a period of years and went to prison for a couple years and was out of football for a couple years, he got a second chance, and now he's shining. So Kurt Warner, and it's justified, even though I said yesterday that it's going to be tough for Greg Williams to get a job for a while because of what happened, and he's the poster child for Goodell of trying to clean up the NFL. So it may be very difficult for him to get back in the league for a few years. I'd be surprised if he's back next year. Now, he's got a lifetime ban right now. He's suspended indefinitely, which is basically a lifetime ban. A lot of coaches have done a lot of things, maybe not to this extent, but they've done a lot of things and have arisen from either in college or made resurrected their careers in different ways. So maybe Greg Williams can do the same. Now, I didn't want to spend that much time on Greg Williams because I really it's one of the things I wanted to do here is we talked about the NBA. Let me get this out of here real quick so I don't have to worry about it. We talked about Greg Williams, which I really didn't want to go on further, but I did. Now, let's talk about this. Now, I want to stay with the NFL. We talked about Warren Sapp, but that's neither here nor there. Let me backtrack here for a minute. Let me put it this way, people. The draft is coming up, and it would be, let me see, this is the 8th in 3 weeks. 3 weeks will be the draft. In 3 weeks, today will be the end day of the draft. It starts on Friday, Saturday, and ends up on Sunday. So let's do this. I have a mock draft that I want to talk about. We got about 17 minutes left in the show. Hopefully I can get through all these. Otherwise I'll be going into overtime. That I see on the Huddle.com, okay? They've done a mock draft, and I want to go down the list of each team as much as I can. Hopefully I can get to all 32 teams before the show starts. Like I said, you know, stops. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go into overtime with this because I want to be able to do this mock draft. If anybody's got any comments? I want to go into this mock draft and see what you think about it. Let me put it this way. You know, like I said, the draft is coming up in 3 weeks, all right? It's been going back and forth, back and forth, and even now the Colts have been saying that it's open-minded, that they're evaluating, even though Andrew Luck is the only quarterback of the two quarterbacks that are going to get picked one and two, have worked out for the Colts. Robert Griffin preferred not to go to the Colts to work out, but Robert Irsay said all along that up until, I guess, recently, in like the last week or two, that they were going to definitely pick Andrew Luck. Now he's saying it's open-minded and still going through an evaluation process. I still think that the Colts are going to pick Andrew Luck. Robert Griffin III really wants to go to the Washington Redskins. Okay, he really wants to go there. He thinks he's a good fit there. He thinks he can really excel there, and I do too. I think he can adapt to any system that he has. and I had said this before, I can't think of a time. Now, I could be wrong. In fact, I know I'm not wrong. Let me put it this way, that the Indianapolis Colts, they've, and if anybody can dispute this, you can either Facebook me, which is on Jerry Taylor is my name. You can Facebook me and tell me something different, or you can Twitter, which is MagicMan1954 is my Twitter name, and tell me anything different. But in my recollection, I can't think of any time that Indianapolis Colts had a black quarterback. What am I saying? You know what I'm saying. So I think they're looking for Andrew Luck to be the next great white hope, and we'll see about that. I got a caller from the 678. Hopefully we can get this guy in here. Caller from the 678. Welcome to the Master Plan. You're speaking to JT. You got state your name and your question or comment.
Hey, JT. This is Aaron from SportsBracketology.com.
What's up, my man?
How's it going, my man?
Okay.
Good. Yeah, I was calling about the draft selection. I'm kind of like you. I think the Indianapolis Colts really want to get RG3 as their quarterback, but I think he's kind of fighting it by not showing up for their private audition, and I think he's going to end up going to D.C., which I think will be a better fit for him, being that D.C. is more of a predominantly, I hate to play the race card in this situation, but it's more of a chocolate city, kind of like Atlanta was to Mike Vick, and I
right.
think he would be a more marketable person in D.C. than in Indianapolis. But I think Indianapolis might have seen something in those opening auditions where they had the exercises and stuff, and I think they were really impressed with RG3 more than they were with Andrew Luck. And I think they're fighting the good image look of Andrew Luck versus the talent and potential, upscale potential of RG3.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I just commented that I think they're looking for the next great white hope, and I'll say it, they're looking for the next great white hope in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I can't recall a time when they had a black quarterback in their organization.
Yeah.
I think I hate this, just like you say, but I'm playing a race card here because I think the fact is, I think I'm not afraid to do it. I think the fact is, You're exactly on point. RG3 looks like he's more comfortable going to the Washington Redskins for all the points that you talked about. And I think, on the other hand, the Indianapolis Colts are more comfortable because they're looking for a Peyton Manning type of guy, meaning that certain type of look of Peyton Manning, if
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Image. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so they want to go take with something like that, but I think the more upside and the more explosive and more, I wouldn't say polished, but more effective quarterback would be RG3. Now
yep.
He's saying he's leaving it out there. Robert Irsay, the owner, say he's leaving it out there. It's been open minded. He's been saying this for the last couple of weeks, and I think he's saying it because he just wanted to be. Saying they're still in the process, they're not locked in, but I'm pretty sure they're locked in on Andrew Luck, and that's who they're going to take.
Yeah, I think so too. And Irsay, since this Peyton Manning ordeal with Irsay, I've seen the notice that Irsay is an attention grabber. Also, he likes
right.
to keep people on edge until the last minute, just to have that attention focused on him as long as possible. So I'm starting to notice that personality about him. He's starting to be more of a Jerry Jones personality than I thought. What do you think about that?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, he's pretty active on Twitter. So right there. How many owners do you know that are on Twitter actively, tweeting very often on Twitter and having some some controversial remarks on Twitter. So
yep.
You're exactly right. I don't know if he's to the same degree as Jerry Jones, but. He's becoming more out there, and especially I think he's going to be more out there since Peyton Manning is taking the spotlight. So he wants to keep more attention to his team, and he you're right. He's an attention grabber. He's like, look at me. So.
Yep, exactly. All right, man. Well, it was good talking to you, and I'll keep in touch with you.
Now, since you're on, I want you to promote your show on here. Talk to me.
Okay.
Tell the people who you are and where you're at.
I'm here from sportsbracketology.com, and I'm on Blog Talk Radio on Monday nights at 11 p.m. with the Past Week in Sports. You can catch me anytime, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Put your link out there.
Okay, let me pull up real quick my link. It is, hold on 1 second here, it's TOBTR.com/S/3107627.
Thank you much there, Aaron. I'll be listening tomorrow.
All right, Jay, appreciate it.
Take care.
You too.
All right.
Happy Easter to you, my man.
Same to you. All right, that was Aaron from Sports Bracketology. I had talked about him before, earlier in the program. He's been listening to me for a few weeks now, and I also in turn listen to him. Like I said, he's on 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He's from the ATL. Listen to my man because he has a lot to say about what's been happening in the week of sports. Anyway, we have 8 minutes left in the show. We're going to be going into overtime, so if you want to listen to this, I'm going to be talking about a mock draft. 3 weeks from now will be the last day of the draft. This is going to be an exciting draft, maybe not into the first two or three picks, but after that, it's open season. You never know who's going to take what, but this is a mock draft. Let's go through this. Number one, Indianapolis Colts. We talked about this. They say they're going to take Andrew Luck. I think it's a mistake, but I think they're going to take Andrew Luck because that's the safe pick. That's the pick that this guy's been pumped up for years. He's saying he's going to be a number one pick. Heisman Trophy winner. I told you he wasn't going to be a Heisman Trophy winner this past season before the season, and he wasn't. The number two pick, the Washington Redskins moved up from where they were. They grabbed the Rams pick, and now they're going to be definitely, if Robert Griffin III doesn't go to the Colts, they're going to be grabbing Robert Griffin. He's been also already been being schooled on the playbook. He's also been talking to the offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. Washington Redskins will take Robert Griffin III. Mike Shanahan and the Redskins make a big move up the board to acquire their quarterback of the future. This guy is explosive, has a strong, strong, accurate deep arm, throws better than Andrew Luck deep, and is very mobile. Pierre Garçon, Josh Griffin, if Santana Moss is still there, and Fred Davis, these guys are going to should be an explosive offense. Anyway, let's move on to number three. Number three is the Minnesota Vikings picking. The Minnesota Vikings need offensive help. They need to protect their quarterback and Christian Ponder. And who better than the offensive tackle from USC?
Excuse me.
Matt Khalil. Big-time offensive left tackle. This guy is a beast. He's a beast. Franchise left tackle. And they're not easy to find. If they don't pick Matt Khalil, they are going in the wrong direction. Let me put it that way. I do believe that. Number four, the Cleveland Browns. Now, the Cleveland Browns can go many different ways. They need a lot of help. They do need help in the wide receiver position. They don't have any big-time wide receivers. Justin Blackmon will be available here from Oklahoma State. Michael Floyd has been moving up the board, but I don't think Cleveland is going to take Michael Floyd this early. I think he's his number one pick, but I don't think he's going to be picked by the Cleveland Browns. Justin Blackmon should be taken, but I think, you know, they got rid of Peyton Hillis, and they really don't have a big-time running back. How about Trent Richardson, running back from Alabama? I think that's a good, maybe a good choice. I don't know what you think about that, but the Browns wouldn't trade up for a franchise quarterback. well, they will at least add a playmaker to their offense. Now, Justin Blackmon, like I said, is going to be available. Morris Claiborne is also an option. And you could possibly put Ryan Tannehill in the mix. But do you want to go early? You got Colt McCoy. I mean, he's serviceable. He's not a big-time quarterback. You need more help than just a quarterback. So there's different ways you can go. But they do need a running back. They got rid of Peyton Hillis. They do need a running back. You think they're going to take Trent Richardson? It's up in the air. It could be Morris Claiborne to go with what's the other guy? I can't believe I can't remember his name now. Cornerback they got last year. Anyway, they're saying Trent Richardson. All right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, like they like DBs. You know they like DBs, and some of the DBs are getting old. So what do you think about them taking Morris Claiborne? Then Morris Claiborne doesn't go to the Cleveland Browns, he more than likely will slip to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he won't go past go. He'll stay here. Bucs have plenty of needs, and either offensive playmaker, Richardson or Blackmon could possibly move to Josh Freeman's offense. But Rondae Barber's old. I mean, he's old. And Aqib Talib has got off-the-field issues. You got Drew Brees, Cam Newton, and Matt Ryan in your division. You need a cornerback that can play. How about Morris Claiborne going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? All right. Then we move to sixth, the pick that the Rams and Redskins flip-flopped. Redskins go to 2, Rams go to number 6. Now, if this guy is sitting here, Sam Bradford is doing a jig. He's dancing up and down, kissing his head coach, kissing his GM, kissing his better half, his girlfriend, and says, I finally got a big-time receiver. Unless the Rams deal down again, a move that couldn't be out of the question, they'll have an opportunity to take the opportunity to upgrade Sam Bradford's article. Blackmon tops Michael Floyd on most draft boards. The question is, how do they rank on Fisher's? Now, it could be Justin Blackmon. It could be Michael Floyd. My choice here would be Justin Blackmon. I've seen the boy play. He's a beast. And these young wide receivers in years past, they need to take the 2 to 3 years to season and come to light. Not anymore. These guys are thrown right into the fray. And if you have a good quarterback, these guys will excel. Sam Bradford is a franchise quarterback. He just needs some options to throw to. Justin Blackmon is one of those options. Justin Blackmon going to the St. Louis Rams. You got about a minute left in the show. We're going to go a little over. We're going to go a little over because I'm going to go up to 10, and then we'll finish this draft next week, okay? But we're going to go up to 10. Number 7, Jacksonville Jaguars. Didn't get Justin Blackmon, but they'll settle, and this is not bad to settle for because they need a wide receiver. Michael Floyd. How about Michael Floyd from Notre Dame going to the Jaguars? Quite naturally, they could use a pass rusher. But their main thing, they need weapons for Blaine Gabbert. Laurent Robinson isn't enough. So Michael Floyd going to the Jacksonville Jaguars makes sense to me. Like I said, we're going to be going into overtime in about 30 seconds. Stay with me, and I'm trying to finish this out as quick as possible. Number 8, Ryan Tannehill. You know they got Matt Moore, and David Garrard, two basically backup quarterbacks. Ryan Tannehill should take over about halfway through the season after he gets a feel of what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. No Manning, no Griffin, no Flynn, and Matt Moore isn't scaring anyone. You're right. Ryan Tannehill is rising fast in the draft, and I think the Miami Dolphins take Ryan Tannehill. Okay. We're going to be going into overtime in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We are in overtime now. I think Ryan Tannehill, like I said, is rising in the draft, and I think the Miami Dolphins are in dire need of a fresh face in the quarterback position, and that's who they take in the 8th position in the draft, Ryan Tannehill. Going to the pick 9, Carolina Panthers. The guy who's actually getting steam for this selection is Baylor's wide receiver, Kendall Wright, who would be an intriguing complement to eventual replacement for C. Smith. A pass rusher is still in the mix as well, but after missing on a pair of early defensive tackles last season, the Panthers plug the hole in the middle of their defense. So, who would they take? Quentin Couples? Fletcher Cox? I think they take a defensive tackle here. I think they need a defensive tackle help. And last but not least for this week, on the 10th pick, is it Kendall Wright or is it Jonathan Martin, an offensive tackle from Stanford? They need help on the offensive line, and they also need help with more downfield weapons. It's up in the air where these go, but the mock here I'm saying is Jonathan Martin, the offensive tackle from Stanford. Okay, people, we've gone a little over, but we're going to call it a show now. I appreciate all you people listening. I appreciate Aaron from Sports Bracketology calling in and expressing his opinion. It's always good to hear from the brother from ATL. Tune in next week, same time, same place. The Master Plan, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's an hour show till 11. We speak about anything and everything. No problem, because that's the way we roll here. On Thursdays at 8 o'clock, we have Jeff the Joker Black, the bookie, and myself hosting the show called the FSP Cruise Show. We go to the news and notes about what's going on in sports of all kinds. And on Saturday, we have the FSP Show with your host, Vic Gardner. I co-hosted. Mikal, his cousin, calls in, and he, from Grown Soul on Real Talk, which is also on Block Talk Radio, he calls in and expresses his opinion. And then last but not least, Kim Fun, from Compassion Dakini. The reason I said that last is because all the first three shows, all the FSP shows and the Master Plan are all mainly talking about sports. I usually talk about some social issues also. Kim Fung is talking about your inner soul, your inner body, things that can make you feel and look better. On Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, Kim is expressing and giving you that information. Very informative show. Listen to that show. You will gain immense knowledge about yourself and how you can better yourself. So those are the four shows that are in our little network. FSP Cruise Show on Thursday, the FSP Show on Saturday, the Master Plan on Sunday, and Kim Fun from the Compassion Dakini on Tuesdays. We have a lot of things that we talk about, a lot of subjects we talk about. We hope you like each and every one of them. We appreciate you calling in, listening in, or even catching us on the archives. We appreciate all that. Well, I'm going to end this with a nice song from Bill Withers. On this lovely day, and that's the name of the song, nice Easter Sunday. Like I said, I want to wish everyone a happy Easter. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the people you enjoy the holiday with. I know I'm talking a lot, but I'm trying to express how I feel. I'm feeling pretty good today, and I want to express to you people that I appreciate all of you who call in, listen on the archives, and even give me your opinions in the chat room, whether I like them or not. Doesn't make a difference. I appreciate you participating. We're going to close this show out with a wish from me and Bill Withers for you people that are listening and that have heard this show. Like I said earlier, and I'll say it to end the show, enjoy your day. Happy Easter. Peace be with you. Goodbye.